What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Closing the Deal. I am your host, Sam Enright, and sitting across from me this morning is my co-host, Zach Dixon. Zach, what is going on this morning? How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Beautiful morning. Can't complain at all. How about you? What's going on today?
Doing all right. I absolutely annihilated my big toe before coming here, so I'm in a good deal of pain. I pulled a drawer out and just like shoved my toenail. Like, I don't know if I bent it. There was blood underneath of it. Hurts very badly. So
break it?
No, I did not. I didn't break the toe. It was more so like, it wasn't even like a stub. It was more like ripping the toenail back.
Oof.
Like there's like bleeding underneath of the toenail. So
it cover it up. Make sure it's not getting infected.
No, I don't. I'm not worried about infection.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
I mean, it's covered with my clean sock. I mean, if that's, you know.
Yeah, probably would do then. Maybe a Band-Aid could do too, though.
I mean, it was really more so just like bleeding underneath of the toenail itself. So like it's like being protected by said toenail. But
yeah,
it just did not feel good. It brought me down to my knees. Honestly, it hurt really freaking bad. So.
Not a good way to start the morning. It sounds kind of like the razor scooter to the shin type deal.
Yeah. You
know, one of the, like, yeah, it's just not a good feeling at all.
Yeah. 58 degree to the ball of your ankle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just not fun. Not ever enjoyable. So, I mean, it feels better now, but, we'll see. Obviously got some walks and some workouts to do later. So we'll see how it feels during that. That's going to be the true test, but. Other than that, good morning. Looks like, gonna be a great day ahead.
Another 90 degree day on the docket. Keep them coming. Honestly, we're here in the end of July, and we just keep them coming. I don't want them to end. So
I don't.
Summertime. The end of summertime is on the horizon at the moment. So just
I don't think that it's gonna continue. I don't know if you've looked at the radar, I'm actually more excited about what's on the docket than probably you are. While very grateful for a great summer, I can definitely deal without, doesn't need to be 90 degrees for me. I'll take high 78s, low 80s, or high 70s, low 80s. That's perfectly okay for me. So, but yes, I am starting to get the feeling, not the feeling, just the realization that we are slowly closing in. For some reason, I don't know. I mean, it's middle of July or late July, but I was on the golf course last night. I just seen a couple leaves on the ground. I'm like, this feels like fall golf. Like there was just this, I don't know, this feeling in the air. I'm like,
crispness,
wow,
we're in just, the air,
yeah, I'm just like, we're not far off here from being back to snow on the ground. I know that's like looking way too far ahead, because obviously that usually doesn't happen to like at least December. Although in my brain, it's like October that we get snow, but that's never usually the reality. But yeah. What can you say, man? The seasons come and go and time flies. So, I mean, we'll be back to, as soon as we get to winter, we'll be back to summer before we know it as well. So just how it goes at this point.
It's the absolute and never ending cycle for sure. For sure.
Yep. So, but yeah, guys, today we're going to be talking about red flags when touring a home. Thought this would be a good episode for you guys. Obviously, Zach toured lots and lots of homes. And, you know, a lot of our listeners have never bought a house before. And so, you know, I think there's probably some common things that most people, if you ask them, hey, you know, what would be something to look out for, you know, touring a home, even if you've never seen a home before, you know, to purchase. Obviously, I think there's some things that most of us would say, oh, yeah, we'd look out for this. But, you know, try to get in some ones that maybe are a little bit less common and things people don't normally think about while they're focused on these other major items, you know, to kind of always be mindful of as well. And maybe not so much just red flags, but just things to take into account when you're going to buy a house. You know, things that may end up being an issue for you down the road if you didn't think about them in the beginning, is kind of the thought process there. So, Zach, why don't you take us into some of, you know, kind of what I would consider, you know, major red flags, but also just very common things that people would normally, if you, again, ask them, hey, what's something you'd look out for in a house? These are likely the items that they would probably bring up.
For sure, for sure. Before getting started into that, then another thing I kind of wanted to add to in terms of the red flags is we don't really, when we are going to tour homes and we're looking and we're scheduling these showings and whatnot, typically these showings are going to be, you know, 15 to 30 minutes long. So touching on these items before you walk into the property and knowing that you're going to be looking at these items before you walk into the property makes it a lot easier to kind of plan those items out in that 15 to 30 minute time period. Because again, it does go quick when you're initially walking through this property. And, you know, part of the goal of the walkthrough is to make sure that you do like it, that you, if you do want an offer or put an offer in on it, that, that you enjoy the property as a whole. But the other aspect of it is to look out for these red flags. And so preparing yourself before you go do that, I think is, was one of the bigger keys to having a successful showing and, you know, having successful information coming out of the showing. You know, obviously some of these things that we're going to talk about are going to be found on an inspection report. But to maybe be able to see them before you put an offer in saves you that, you know, $500, $600 on an inspection. If you can see these things prior to putting an offer in, obviously you're going to save yourself some time and money down the road. So I think it it just kind of goes back to stuff we've talked about previously of preparing yourself previous before you, you know, get the process started. So some of the major red flags I'd say that we take a look at, you know, on the surface when we go through and do those walkthroughs of property, number one is going to be structural and foundation issues. Those can be deal killers immediately. If there is problems with the foundation and structure of the property, number one, that's going to be a pretty large fix. It's a pretty expensive undertaking for a seller or a new buyer to undertake with a new property. And then number two, the lendability on the property when there are structural and foundation issues, it's not going to be an easy, you know, there's going to be a path of resistance, unfortunately, when there is structural and foundation issues. So we're going to either have to get them fixed or I'm going to have to get creative with how the property goes forward. So if we're taking a look at, if we're, you know, walking through properties and we can see, you know, large cracks in the foundation, you know, foundation shifting, you know, one part of the foundation is here and the other one's here, that's going to be a tall tale sign that, you know, there's something going on with some water intrusion, just things of that nature. So that's probably going to be the biggest red flag that we take a look at. We're always going to be looking for water damage, you know, coming from the roof, leaking from the roof. If there is a basement, if we're going to see, if we're seeing any water intrusion in the basement, if they have a sub pump in place, all of those things we're going to be taking a look at. If there's any mold issues anywhere, that would lead us to believe that there's been water intrusion that has not been taken care of. And so those are probably two of the bigger items that we take a look at when we're doing those walkthroughs and some of the red flags that we're, you know, we're looking for to try and alleviate the inspection process or maybe kind of help ourselves out prior to, you know, going into contract there.
Nice. Yeah. And I mean, from the lending, you know, side of things, when it comes to those sort of red flags, like Zach, you know, mentioned about the lendability for structural issues and those sort of things, like, you know, I know it's a common thought process that, you know, conventional, you can get away with a lot more when it comes to an appraisal, but no loan program out there, you know, I guess it's obviously going to be appraiser dependent because ultimately they are our eyes on the ground. We don't see the property. We don't set foot on the property. We, you know, ultimately hire an appraiser to go out and do that job. And, you know, we trust that they're going to report back the information that they see. So if that's something that they do report, you know, in the report, obviously an appraiser is not a structural engineer. They're not licensed to be able to tell us that there is a structure issue. However, you know, if they do come back in the report and mention, you know, what you guys may see when you're walking through, hey, you know, there appears to be maybe some structural damage, some bowing of walls, some water damage in the, you know, basement, foundation, whatever, you know, that's going to cause a red flag with us as a lender. We're going to require to get a professional out there to determine, you know, what is the situation, what is going on, you know, and what are they going to be the, you know, what is ultimately going to be the solution to get that solved. So, you know, that's another thing is, you know, even if that is something you are okay with when you go and look at the house, that's something you need to be, you know, very well aware of and mindful of if you do decide to put an offer in on a property with those sort of things, that that could get called out. And if it does, we're not just going to turn a blind eye to that. It's going to be required to be, you know, at least examined, looked at, and, you know, a game plan decided, you know, from there based on that. So,
And ultimately, while you are the purchaser of the home, the buyer, you made a good point there. You know, there is another vested interest in this property as well. When you have a financing, there's a large lump sum of money that's being handed to you by a third party, and they obviously have a vested interest in this party. They are in this property. They don't want to see it, you know, burn down to the ground. They don't want to see it crumble down to the ground. They don't want to see it fall apart. They don't want to see any of those types of things. So
yeah,
obviously they, as much as you are doing your due diligence as a buyer, you know, obviously the lender is doing their due diligence as well on their side of things.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Cause I mean, if there's structural issues and you know, you're in a position where that costs 20-30K and you don't have that, you know, who does that fall upon? You know, we've already talked about the previous episode or when we talked about foreclosures and that sort of thing. Not only is now have you likely walked away from this property, if you can't afford to make that repair, now you've left in the hands of the lender who's already going to take a loss on the money. Now they have to fix the structural issues themselves to get the property back on market. And so there's a lot of factors that go into it. Like Zach said, there's another vested interest here. And sometimes people don't often think about it that way. They think I'm buying the house, I'm the one who owes the money, but you know, what happens if, you know, something major happens to the house and you no longer can afford to pay for it, or, you know, don't want to ultimately, who does that fall on then? You know, it just doesn't just go away. It doesn't disappear. Unfortunately. So, sorry, were you going to add something there?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Honestly, couldn't agree more. Just all in all, you know, it's hard when you're a buyer. You think you're obviously center of attention, center of the world.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of other moving parts, a lot of other things going on at the same time. So just got to keep everything in check and you know, be aware.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, let's be real. I mean, if you ask most people, like, do you want to buy a house that has structural issues? Like, most people are going to say no. But oftentimes we have buyers who, we've talked about this before, on the emotional side of homeownership, we get people that are emotionally invested in these properties and don't sit back and think about it from a different perspective. You know, we actually had a client on the foreclosure house that we did from the previous episode in that example, where there was something that was called out in the basement by the appraiser, and like the amount of like upsetness from the buyer that we were requiring a structural engineer to go out and verify that the structural integrity of the property was not compromised was like, it was just like, if we could sit down and have a cup of coffee and like really sit and talk about this, like there's no way that you would be opposed to this, like when you really sit back and think about it. But it's just like, we get ourselves emotionally invested in these things. We want this property so bad, and we don't care about it's anything, you know what I mean? I can't tell you how many times I've sat down and made decisions and be like, I don't care about that. I'll deal with that later. Like, that's a problem for down the road. And then down the road comes and you sit and you think, God, what was I thinking? Like, that was just idiotic. Like, I should have handled this then, or at least thought about the repercussions of it. But, you know, that's not always often how our brains work, unfortunately. So
that's true. Human nature, for sure. Human nature. So touching on a couple of other small red flags that we're taking a look at, you know, when we do our walkthroughs, electric and plumbing is going to be a big one, making sure that all of the electrical, you know, is working in the property. Obviously that the electric is on, the electric service is on at the property. You know, we're going to take a look at the amp box and make sure that it's not from 1960, 1970, make sure it's been updated in the last 20 or 30 years. And then obviously those are also things that past the walkthrough, and once you go into contract, those are things that can be also obviously inspected a little bit further past the normal standard residential inspection. You can get, you know, electrical inspections done specifically. You can get plumbing inspections done specifically, sewer line drains, camera specifically. So those are things that you can get checked out afterwards as well, but obviously are going to make sure that we're not seeing, you know, loose wiring out of the amp box, you know, fire hazards, stuff like that. And then obviously making sure that we're not seeing any water leaks, just checking under sinks and things of that nature, making sure that we're not seeing any water damage in any cabinets, stuff like that. So the last one that I have would be really just like pest infestation. That's going to be pretty self-explanatory, obviously. and if we walk into the property, it'll be pretty, you know, cut and dry at that point too. So, obviously, but that would just be an aspect of how we bake into our offer. If we do decide that we want to offer, you know, that's just something that we would put to the side as maybe in a negotiable to try and work out with the seller on that fact. So that's going to be a pretty standard, pretty straightforward one if we do walk into a property on a walkthrough and see that. So typically that's something that scares buyers away, I would say.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
For sure. I mean, yeah. I can only imagine walking into a property and seeing some of the stuff that I'm sure people have seen out there. So, you know, especially from a pest standpoint, that's like a no-go for me personally. Like that's gross. So
yeah, I've walked into some flips, seen like stink bugs, like a lot of stink bugs.
Yeah.
Just on the ground and stuff. Nothing like alive, nothing yeah. crazy alive.
No cockroaches, infestation. Oh man. Yeah, that would be gross. That would be sick.
Yeah.
So,
but nothing too crazy on my side of things so far yet. So
yeah, for sure. Well guys, going into kind of the next category, you know, these are maybe some less thought about red flags, still things that you would, you know, notice, but again, just something that maybe is not going to be as high on the priority list as like structural or foundational issues. First and foremost, in my opinion, would be like suspicious DIY or like, you know, suspicious fixes, you know, jerry rigging, as some people would call it. You know, we've all opened up a hood of a car and seen some duct tape around a wire or two, you know what I mean, in our time. You know, those sort of things obviously are going to jump off the page to me if I'm walking through a property and I see, you know, some things that are maybe done less than professionally. It's going to make me raise some questions about, you know, just kind of the integrity of the house as a whole. So that one would be one that I would be on the lookout for, just kind of when you're, you know, just checking some things out, just seeing if there's any sort of suspicious renovations or DIY fixes that just aren't making a whole bunch of sense. Missing safety features. So things such as like smoke detectors not being there, you know, GFCI outlets near water sources. I don't know how common carbon monoxide detectors are. I know like my parents have one in their house. There's not one in mine, but, you know, things of that nature, just making sure that those safety features are there, not missing, they're on, they're in working order. Just something to be mindful of. And then the last one, kind of touching back on the initial one, would just be unfinished or incomplete repairs. If somebody got something started and, you know, did not finish that, you know, what's their plan for that when you're going in and buying a house or when you're making an offer? Are they going to finish it before the purchase? Is that something that you're going to have to do once you do own the home? You know, going in and having, you know, those things as on your radar, you know what I mean? If that's something that you're going to have to take care of yourself, or you're going to ask them to, you know, to have done by the time that, you know, you finish completion of the purchase would be some other things to just take into consideration when going through a house.
And I think the other thing that maybe buyers don't necessarily think about, and I guess honestly, this episode can apply to renters too, you know, as you're touring rental homes that you're, you know, that you're thinking about living in. These are all things that you definitely need to take a look at when you're, you know, considering a property to live in for yourself. But I think going back to the buyers and the renter side of things, like these maybe aren't things that you think about often, but they can impact the lendability of the property as a whole. You know, with FHA, with the GFCI outlets and smoke detectors and whatnot, I actually on the rental side just leased out a unit to a Licking County Metro Housing Authority tenant, and we had to do an inspection for that, and we actually had to install carbon monoxide detectors on every single floor there. So again, these are things that maybe again less thought about under the radar, but they can affect the, you know, ability to be able to move into this property, either whether it be on the buy side or on the rent side. So while they may not be major fixes or major things that we're thinking about, they are most definitely things that you do need to think about as a whole, and more than likely will need to be repaired at some point to get you in there to the property. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I know you said it kind of in there, but there's one last kind of segment, you know, for this, and that was, you know, under the radar or, you know, really just not thought about things at all. And these may not even actually have to do with the house, the integrity, you know, the structure of the property at all. These are things that I'm sure that when you go and you see something, you're worried about the bones, you're worried about the structure, you're worried about how the house looks, how many bedrooms does it have, how many baths, does it meet all of these criteria, that sometimes these things can get lost, lost in kind of that whole thing. And so the first thing would be, you know, multiple listings in the same area, multiple houses for sale simultaneously. You know, what could that possibly mean for that neighborhood if there are, you know, 5-6 houses all in this one general vicinity all being put up for sale at the same time? Obviously our imagination could go a bunch of places, but that would be something to think about. You know what I mean? If you drive down a street and you see for sale, for sale, for sale, for sale, for sale, you may not think about it in the moment, but you know, that is likely something you should probably take a step back and say, hey, what's going on in this neighborhood that's causing everybody to want to sell at the same time here? You know what I mean? And so that would be number one for me. Zach, are there any other ones, you know, that are under the radar for you that, you know, clients probably don't think about in the moment when, like you said, you're there for 15, 30 minutes, you know, and you're oftentimes worried about the things that, you know, you see all these pictures online. Does it look like the pictures online? You know, what are some other things that, you know, you could probably, you miss in that window that you should think about?
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with your first one there. I think the only maybe small caveat to that would be maybe if it's one owner that's selling all the properties.
Yeah.
That's not a very likely scenario, but sometimes, you know, an owner owns a whole block and he decides that he wants to retire and move off of all those properties at one time. But in the instance that you're describing, absolutely, if you have 5 single family separate owners that are all listing at the same exact time, there's more than likely an underlying reason why they're doing that at the same exact time. So I definitely 100% agree with that for sure.
At the bare minimum, it at least gets you asking the question. I mean, like you said, even 100%. If it is just the person, you know, one person selling, you know, it's still something to flag and say, hey, what's going on here? And then if that is the reason, okay, cool, you know, proceed forward. If not, what is the reason for these guys? You know, is crime in the neighborhood going up? Is something else, you know, causing, you know, bad neighbors or something like that people are not wanting to live near? You know, those are things you don't know exactly, you know, what all could be going on. At least get you some, it's not something I would normally think about. Like I said, you know, I can just picture myself driving down a street worrying about, okay, here's what we're going to see when we get in here, and just not even paying attention to the neighborhood or anything that's surrounding it. You know what I mean? And so just something to, you know, at least get you asking the questions.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So moving on to the other kind of under the radar, like you just mentioned, is the, you know, neighbors around you, just taking a look at the condition of the property as a whole around you, whether that's, you know, 2 or 3 doors down to your left, 2 or 3 doors down to your right, in between, you know, just taking a look at their landscaping to make sure that they are, you know, keeping up with their mowing, their edging, their landscape beds with all of the weeds and whatnot. Just taking a look at that, just it can provide a pretty clear picture on, you know, what the neighborhood and what the area around you is going to be consisting of during your home ownership as well. And property values are 100%, you know, dictated by other properties around you as well as your property itself. So again, just got to make sure that you're taking a look at the surroundings around you. You know, that includes noise too. If you're there maybe on an evening showing and they have 10 cars in the driveway and a bunch of noise coming from that house, it's more than likely that, you know, that could be a regular thing on the evening time. So just all things you need to be paying attention to when you take a look at that property that you think you want to offer on. And then I think the last one would be, you know, like I mentioned earlier, is just being rushed all in all through your showing. Because again, maybe you have 2 or 3 more showings after this one, or you have something to do after this. And so you're just kind of going through the motions when you walk through the property. And then maybe you get home and realize that you did really like that property and you didn't go detail by detail when you did your showing, because you just were, you know, your head's not in it. You're thinking about what you got going on afterwards. And so I would say when you schedule that 15 to 30 minute showing, just make sure that you're locked in mentally. You're locked in on what you want to see and, you know, the things around what you want to see as well, not just the things. So
yeah, for sure. That's a good one there. I think we all can struggle with that in life in general, just being present when we're doing things, because you got a lot of things going on in your brain. And I know I struggle with that myself from time to time, and just trying to focus on the task at hand and be there for that. So definitely important, especially because you only get that, you know, that little bit of a window there to kind of look at that property. You know, and other than if you do offer on it, you know, other than, you know, getting a home inspection done, if you decide to go out for that and then kind of your final walkthrough, you know, those are going to be kind of the main times that you even see the property in general at all. You know, and so taking that time to really focus in on the things that you're looking for and making sure that, you know, it checks the boxes, even boxes you may not know that you have, you know, making sure that that, you know, that that is good is important. So,
and especially too, in this market, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, we've only had opportunities to see the property once, do one showing, and you got to make a decision based on that one showing, 15, 30 minutes in that property, yeah, on if you want to offer 10, 15, 20 grand over ask, waive your inspections, et cetera, et cetera. So it's starting to slow down, obviously. It's slowing down completely from, you know, the peak of where it was in 21, 22, whatever. But obviously that's a big key as well. Just kind of knowing your market and what's going on around the market before you go into the showing, and knowing if you have to make an offer right away, kind of dictate your showing in that aspect as well. So
for sure. For sure. All right, guys. Well, that was a pretty quick episode for you guys today. Just wanted to, you know, highlight some things to think about. Hopefully left you guys with something that, you know, maybe was not on your radar before when going through houses, but now is. And, you know, every little bit of information helps, especially if this is somewhere where you're going to live for the next several years, somewhere where you're potentially thinking about raising a family, you know, having children. We didn't even get into that side of things. I mean, I know we touched on neighborhood and that side of it a little bit, but just all things to be mindful of, and hopefully just put a little bit, you know, extra emphasis on a few things out there for you guys. And hopefully this helps. So,
absolutely. I think the biggest thing for me on this episode is, again, just the planning, the preparation aspect of it all. Just make sure that you, when you, you know, schedule that showing, that you're locked in, ready to go, and prepared on all the fronts, and maybe not necessarily just going through the motions when you head over to that property. So just be prepared, and I think you'll be a lot happier because of that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, appreciate you guys tuning in. Yeah, we'll see you guys on the next episode.
You guys have a great day.